I'm so happy to be here with you. This church is like my extended family. I don't know, I've probably preached here at least a half dozen times. I don't know, maybe more. They all seem to blend together anymore. But so I hope that you would see me not as just a guest speaker, but just kind of, you know, that extended family that you see during holidays and things like that. And before I go on, I would just like to, I highly believe that there's a blessing and honoring. And I just want to take a moment to honor your pastors, Sam and Tracy. They're both your pastors, right? The Bible says the two become one flesh. So they're both your pastors. And I said last week I was here, and I feel like I say this all the time when I come, but I just want to get it through that sometimes when you see somebody every week and you have access to them and you can call them on the phone, they become common to you. But these aren't common people. These are very uncommon people with lots of experience, full of the Holy Spirit, and God's given them as a gift to you. So, and you'll be blessed by, I'm telling you, you will be blessed. I don't pastor here, so I can say this, but I mean, taking care of them, encouraging them, supporting them, trying to find a way to lift the weight of the ministry, you're going to be blessed in all of that. Is that my water? Is that what you're pointing at? Good. I'm going to take a drink because I kind of was looking at it. And I was really thirsty, but I was like, if that's somebody else's water. So I pastor a church called New Hope Community Church in Ambridge, Pennsylvania. It took me about 35 minutes to get here. If you're not familiar with Ambridge, we won the title of the most dangerous city in Western PA a few years ago. And I was on a conference call with a regional pastor, and they had a bunch of different pastors on there. And it was supposed to be a teaching call, and everybody was saying what area they were from. And at that time, that report had just come out. This was according to FBI crime statistics. And they said, oh, yeah, you got it. Your town just got an award. Most dangerous town. And it was kind of like there was this chuckling of like, yeah, you know, why would you want to pastor a church? See, I believe that the local church is God's answer for all the problems in the world. Amen. It's not, I mean, nonprofits are great, parachurch stuff is great, you know, there's all kind of charities out there, they do some good work, but God's answer for the problems in society is the local church. So if that place is the most dangerous place in Western PA, which I kind of doubt that, but if that's what they say, then why wouldn't I want to have a church there, amen? And I can tell you that things are changing. And you know, it was only a few years ago that you could buy a house for $30,000 or $40,000. Now the houses are going for $80,000, $90,000. They revitalized the main streets. Business are coming in. Outside investors are coming in. And it's not because of some government policy. It's because there's been a church praying and believing God to send businesses in, to send a revival, to send places. That's why the place is changing. And we're just beginning to see the fruit of that. And because of what you guys shared earlier, I just want to share a little bit of what God is doing. This is my eighth year as senior pastor there. And so God spoke to me and said that 7 was going to be a year of completion, then 8 was going to be the year of new creation. And we have a men's recovery home at in Ambridge. I currently have 11 men in there as of this morning. As of today, we moved number 11 in there just this morning. And we basically are a transition to take guys that are dealing with incarceration, drug addiction, or any kind of life-controlling problems. We take them from where their problem is to living a victorious Christian life. And we've been doing that for about 10 years. We bought an old Catholic church, and we have a convent there. It was an old convent, and so we turned that into our men's recovery home. And so about 10 years, we've literally have hundreds of men pass through there. You know, you win some, you lose some. Amen. Jesus said the sower scatters the seed, but only one out of four really got it. But the one who gets it goes and gives you that 30, 60, 100-fold return. So seeing a man get it and get saved, and for some of them, it's part of the process. But God has really given me a vision to establish a dream center in Beaver County. So As of next year, we'll be establishing a Beaver County Dream Center. So in addition to the men's home we have, we're also going to be establishing a woman's home and a home for homeless teens. So that should be happening within, raising money this year, setting the groundwork, hoping to be open by 2021, having all those homes open. So that's just an area for you guys to begin praying for, but God is going to do just incredible things down there. And like I said, the local church is truly the hope of the world. So you guys are it. So look left, look right. Look, there's no plan B. So if you guys don't do it, if you guys aren't doing it, listen, your pastors are there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So they equip you, they establish you, but you guys are the ones going out to fight the battle. So listen, if you guys aren't fighting the battle, then guess what? Then the devil's winning. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let the devil win. So I had a message prepared for you, and man, it was a good message. But, God dealt with me during the singing of praise and worship. When I was initially praying about what God would have me preach here, he merely gave me two scriptures. And then I would sit down and I would pray and I would try to write. And it was just, I just didn't have anything. So I said, okay, well, maybe God doesn't want me to preach that. And so I went to work and I established a whole nother message. And then when we are in worship, it's like, no, I want you to preach that message. So let's just pray. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, the name that is above every name, the only name under heaven where men can be saved. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that your word would break through, Lord. I pray that your word would break through. It would break through walls. It would break through limitations, Lord. I pray that this would be a word that would build faith, that would strengthen the weak, Lord. I pray that this word would just not go out with the wisdom of man, but it would go out in the demonstration of power. And Lord, so I'm going to need you right now to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that my spirit would decrease, that your Holy Spirit would increase. I pray that the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified and the people of God would be edified. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I know you guys like to put it on the overhead, but I got to get there myself before I show you, tell you the exact address. I think it's going to be verses 35. Let me get there. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Yes, we're going to begin in verse 36. And we are going to go through verse 39, Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39. Now, just kind of doing some background here on this passage, parable that Jesus is going to speak is given in response to basically two different things. The first thing is that Jesus was sitting with tax collectors and sinners. So he was sitting with a group of people that the religious people of that day would not be caught dead with. They would not sit with them. They felt that it was unclean to sit or spend time with them. And so they basically challenged Jesus and they said, if this was a holy man, why is he sitting with all those sinners? And Jesus responded that those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Amen. The church was never intended to be a museum for saints. Amen. It's supposed to be a hospital for sinners. People love when people who are, they say, yeah, we want people who are unsaved to come into the church. But the problem is they don't act like church people. They don't dress like church people. They don't know all the things. And then people get annoyed and people give them bad looks. And then they go and they leave and they never come back. I remember one time I had a guy sitting in the front row of the church. And he had a big dip of chew in his mouth. And he had a cup. He was spitting in it. I would look over at him and I just see just a big glob of spit coming in. He was just sitting there. He was right in the front row and he's just watching the message. And finally, one of the guy who was running our men's home at the time, he came and sat down by him. And I seen he was talking to him, but I didn't know what he said until after. And he said, hey, he was a Hispanic guy. He said, hey, You think it's okay for you to be sitting there watching a pastor with a big chew in your mouth, spitting in a cup? The guy looked over at him. He said, hey, buddy, if I had it all together, I wouldn't be here. And so he said, okay, you got a point there, and walked away. Amen. So when you get new people in the church, sometimes they don't know how to act, right? They're new people, so they need to be brought in. And it's the power of God that changes them. It's not us that change them through religion and fear-based motivation, right? We get them into the power of God, the love of God, the presence of God, and then God changes them in an instant. The other thing that he was telling this parable is because there was something that had to do with the Sabbath, and you had in this particular one, it's talking about fasting. So it was talking about fasting and praying, and so, you know, they prided themselves in fasting and praying. See, they prided themselves. So this was a counter to the religious people of that day, basically. He was pushing back against their religious views. So let's get into it. Chapter 5, verse 36. I'm also reading from the New King James. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the old, or taken out of the new, does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk the old wine, immediately desires the new, for he says the old is better. He says the old is better. We're going to call this message preparing for the next move of God. Amen. A lot of times what holds us back from where God wants to take us in our life is because we're holding on to an old wineskin. So I grew up Catholic. Anybody in here grow up Catholic? Okay, so before I start making these comments, I want to preface it with, you know, this is my perspective, and, you know, around here, you know, north, you know, over here in Pennsylvania and the whole real Northeast, basically a lot of us grew up Catholic, and within our families, even though hardly anybody went to church, they had a Catholic grandma who was the holiest woman who everybody loves, who kind of held the family together. And so anytime I say anything concerning the Catholic Church, this is what people hear. You hate my grandma. Listen, I do not hate your grandma. I love your grandma, okay? I'm sure she's a great woman. And listen, I'm not saying that anybody who's in the Catholic Church is not saved. I know there's good Catholics who love Jesus. You know, it's just my perspective here. So basically, I grew up and I remember going to church. And so I would walk into church and it was a very somber mood. You almost had to look sad, right? You had to, the sadder you looked, really, the holier, you know, you are. So you had to walk in and the music was very sad and you had to be real quiet. You know, if somebody shook your hands, to be real, real quiet, real somber, and everywhere you would see it'd be pictures of Jesus kind of bloody and beaten, and you had to, man, I'm just such a loser, I'm so bad, you know, I did that to Jesus, and you just had to be sad about it, and then the music would start, and there, you know, there was the organ lady, and it would be like that weird, like high pitched singing, like la la la, and then that would come on. You know, and I always felt like I was at a funeral, you know, and they would put it on and then the priest would come out. And in my case, and I'm not saying all priests are like this, but the church I went to, you know, the priest looked very feminine, looked like he had a dress on. And all I knew is that he had to swear off women for the rest of his life. So basically I said, you know what, if that's what, to me, that was what being a person of God or going to church, you know, being a Christian, that's what it was about. That was my perspective. And I can remember my wife started going to church. She started going to a home Bible study. And she went to church. I gave my life to the Lord when I was about 26. But my wife started going to church. My marriage was in a really bad place. And she started going to church, I think, just to get away from me. And so she was going to church for about a year. And she came home one time and she said, you know, I want to get baptized. And I was like, why would you get, we baptize babies. You get baptized when you're a baby. Why would you get baptized when you're an adult? And she tried to explain it to me, but I had a perspective that wouldn't allow me to understand where she was coming from. And they begged me to go to her baptism, and I didn't want to go, but I went. And when I went there, all I can say is just the power of God hit me. Even though I was inside a building, I swear it was like rays of light came and shined down on me, and I felt the presence of God. I broke down, just started weeping and crying. I was just overwhelmed with God just revealed himself to me in a very powerful way. And so that Sunday I said, you know what, I'm gonna go to church. And so I went to church, and you know, I walked in and I seen, you know, guitars on the stage and drums on the stage, and you know, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like this guy I didn't even know just grabs me and just starts hugging me and kind of even like rubbed his like beard stubble on the side of my, which I really still wasn't cool with. You know, I'm still not cool with that today. But like, but I was putting off like, you know, wow, why do these people, they're not supposed to be happy. We're in church, right? They're supposed to be sad. You know, it's supposed to be quiet, solemn. And it was just a very upbeat environment. And then the music started and people were raising their hands. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? But see, I had to take all that old religion that I had grown up with, everything that I knew, I had to get rid of all that. I couldn't add to it. I couldn't patch it. I had to get rid of it. I had to get rid of it all, because what I had is I had an old wineskin, and that old wineskin kept me from what God wanted to do in my life. I had all these beliefs. I had all these things that had driven me, and I couldn't get close to God. It was like a barrier. And so many times, all our old beliefs, whether it's the family we grew up with, whether it's our perspective of what church is or what somebody told us, we have all these perspectives and beliefs of the way that things should be. And because we hold on to them and don't let them go, then the new wine can't be poured in, because we're going from an old wineskin theology. Amen. I can't tell you how many people that, you know, they get weirded out and they come to church. And so they'll come to church, they'll give their heart to the Lord, and they'll be like, here's somebody praying in tongues. And they're like, wow, that's really weird. You know what? It was strange to me the first time I heard somebody praying in tongues too. But here's the thing. It's not about whether I think it's weird or not. Does the Bible say it's true? And there's a lot of things that we believe, and there's a lot of things that we hold on to that have nothing to do with the Bible. And what happens is it stops the move of God from flowing into our life. And a lot of times what we do is we mix the law, we mix Old Testament with New Testament. So we're trying to mix law and grace together. And what we get is we get a mixture, and the mixture just doesn't work at all. Well, you know, if that's all we preach is the grace of God and the love of God, then that'll cause people to sin. No, it won't. Listen, my wife, we've been together, we've been married. She couldn't travel with me today. We've been together for 24 years. We celebrated our 24th year. Next year in June will actually be our 25th year being together and being married. And the thing is it's not that I don't cheat on her because I don't want her to find out. I don't cheat on her because I love her. I don't want to hurt her. It's what it would do to her. And that's the thing. Our motivation to serve God and to not sin and deal with the sin in our life shouldn't come from a place of fear-based guilt and religion. Amen? It should come from a place of knowing God's grace and God's love, that he loved us first, and that who we are in Christ and we've been forgiven, and realizing the love that has been poured out. And that's what should motivate us. But how many times do we have old things that keep us? And one of the things in the church is that everybody's praying for revival. Does anybody here want to see revival in the church? We all want to see revival, but guess what? It might not look like revival used to look. Azusa Street looked a lot different than the Cane Ridge revival, right? The healing revival of the 50s looked a lot different than Azusa Street. They said that Azusa Street was illegitimate because it was in an old barn. The pews that they had were some wooden crates that had some 2x4s nailed to them. The preacher was a one-eyed black man named William Seymour that had two apple boxes set up. That was his podium. And people said, well, that can't be a legitimate move of God. No, it just didn't look like what they thought it should look like. And because of that, they missed the move of God. Well, you know, brother, we just got to do everything good, decently, and in order. Yeah, but it's got to be what God thinks is good, decently, and in order, right? We want to see the power of God move in our church, and we want to see the power of God move. And listen, I understand that things can't be crazy and can't be chaotic, but honestly, man, I'd rather a little bit of wildfire than no fire at all. Amen?
That's right.
You can't put new wine into old wineskins. You can't hold on to old religion and think that you're going to get new wine, that you're going to get the next move of God. You've got to get rid of all that, and you've got to cling on to what is true. How much in our theology is the term, is how many people think that, okay, well, you know, the God the Father is the mean one and Jesus is the nice one, right? But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How much of our perspective is messed up about really who God is? Listen, you can't take something and have an assumption about God that you don't see in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. There's a pastor that says that Jesus Christ is perfect theology. Thomas said to Jesus, Thomas said to Jesus, show me the Father. Jesus said, how long have you been with me? Do you not know that I and the Father are one? Right? The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus bodily. But we hold on to sort of this mixture and these things that we've been taught. And because we've been taught that, it holds us back from what we believe. I can't tell you how much, you know, people come in. Well, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. You know, you got to do four songs. You got to start off with two fast songs. And then you kind of go into, you know, you go into two slow songs, and we got to do everything like this. And you listen, I've heard of people leaving church because they moved to Oregon from the right side to the left side. From the right side to the left side. Why? Because it messes up their tradition. It messes up the thing that they had perspective, and God wants to do a new thing, but people are too clung to their traditions. That's why, like where I'm at in Ambridge, there's old mainline denominational churches with literally four people in them. The only reason they're hanging on is because they got support of a denomination. But the thing is they're so stuck to their traditions, they would rather see the church close down instead of give up their traditions. And guess what? The church will shut down because they've hung on to their traditions and they put that over a revelation from God. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. The thing that sometimes stops the next move of God is the old move of God. And we think like, okay, that's the way it has to work. We try to put God in a religious box and say, this is how God's supposed to operate. He can only operate in this way. And if it's something that's unfamiliar to us, then we back away from it. And when we do, we miss the thing that God wants to do. We had a church that was in Moundsville, and it was in our division. And the pastor had been there for over 20 years. I want to say 25 years. And the church had really dwindled, and he was retiring, and so he didn't have anybody within the church that was going to assume the pastorate of that church. And so what they do is I go down and I talk to the church council, and I say, well, what do you think that this church needs in your new pastor? And so I'm trying to get what they feel that their church really needs. And the idea is then, you know, when we have people that are prospective candidates, that we could see if they kind of line up with what the church needs. So I began talking with them, and I said, you know, what do you think that you guys need? And they said, well, I think, you know, we really want a younger pastor who come in here and grow the church. That's what we really need. And so I looked at him and I said, okay. I said, so what you're saying is you want somebody to come in here and change everything that you're doing. And they kind of looked at me like a cow looks at a new gate. You know, they were just, and I was like, well, listen, I was like, you know, you guys have done the same thing, had service the same way, the same time. You haven't started any new ministries. You haven't done any new outreach. And I don't know how long, and the church isn't growing. And so when you say you want somebody to come in and make the church grow, then you're saying to me that you want somebody that's going to come in and change everything. And when they come in and they change everything, are you going to fight them? Are you going to yell at them? Are you going? I literally seen and heard, and this was at our church before I became the pastor, of church council members literally arguing and yelling at each other about whether we were going to have bagels or donuts in the morning. Literally. Well, we've always had donuts, brother. Well, who cares? You know, have a mixture. Don't have any. It doesn't really matter. Is that what we're here for? And the thing is it's silly, but the thing is people get hung up on their traditions, and you gotta be, and I'm not saying about compromising anything with the Word of God. The Word of God never changes. Amen. But if somebody wants to change the service time from 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock, and then half the people leave the church, what is going on? Is it, well, you know, God only moves between 9 and 9:30, brother. No, he doesn't. Listen, and I'm kind of being ridiculous, but the thing is that I want you to just think, what are the old wineskins that you're truly holding on to? What are the religious things that you have in your mind about what a church is supposed to be, what a Christian is supposed to be like, what is a Christian supposed to do that really don't have anything to do with the Bible? And we all have them. We all have those things in our heart that we think like, okay, things are supposed to be like this. And when they're not, and when somebody, then we get mad because it breaks our paradigm. But God wants us to empty all of that out. I had to, you know, when I got that, I basically felt it in my heart that I had two separate people speak the same prophetic word to me that, you know, that, 7 was going to be a year of completion, and 8 was going to be the year of a new creation. Guess what that meant to me? That if I wanted God to do something new, that, you know, there was going to be no sacred cows in our ministry, that there was going to have to be things that we were going to let go, and there were going to have to be new things that we were going to bring in if we wanted to see another move of God. God has a real problem with mixture. And if you're not familiar really with what an old wineskin is, I mean, look, we have water bottles, right? So everybody walks around with their water bottles nowadays. Anybody have a water bottle in here today? All right, okay, we got, but sometimes, you know, but back then they didn't have plastic and they didn't have that. So what they would have is they would have these wineskins. And so an older wineskin would already kind of be stretched, and it would be stretched to a certain max capacity, because it was stretched all the way. A new wineskin would be able to be stretched a little bit because it was new. And what would happen is if you put new wine into a new wineskin, it would ferment and it would stretch, but it wouldn't burst. But if you put it in an old wineskin and you filled it up, the new wine would ferment and that wineskin would just burst. So it was incapable of holding the new wine. And listen, some of our beliefs and some of our, especially when it comes to religion, listen, this, when I'm in Ambridge, and listen, it is a stronghold of religion. It is a literal stronghold of religion. And I can tell you that, you know, give me a drug addict, give me somebody who's sticking a needle in their arm, give me a woman who's walking the streets, and you know what? I'll win them to Jesus a heck of a lot easier than I'll win a religious person who thinks he knows God and doesn't know anything about God. See, religion, in a nutshell, religion is a system where I work my way up to God. That is what religion is. That has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity says Jesus Christ came down from heaven to live amongst men, to live the life that we could not live, to die the death that we should have died, taking our sins, paying the price for our sins, taking the full wrath of God upon himself, right? We call it the great exchange, that he took our sin and we take his righteousness. He takes our sickness, we take his healing. Amen? And listen, you know, take a hold of that. Believe it by faith. Listen, there's so many things. I was sitting there the other day and I was at the YMCA and this lady was talking to me and I could tell that, you know, she kind of had a little bit of, you know, she had that thing where you could tell she was sick in her voice. And I said, you know, you sound like you're sick. And she said, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, it's been on like 2 weeks, you know, and it's been going around and everybody's getting it. So you'll probably be next. I said, not me. I won't be next. Just because everybody else gets sick doesn't mean I got to get sick. Amen. By his stripes, I am healed. I'll be sitting at home and they'll be putting the news report on and they'll say, you know what? It's, you know, flu season is upon us. Not in my house, it's not flu season, right? Just because everybody else gets the flu doesn't mean I got to get the flu. Amen. Because why? That's an old paradigm. You know what? Yeah, you're just, hey, it goes around. You're just going to get sick. No, I'm not going to get sick. Well, you know what? Things been going good for a long time, man. You know, just waiting for them to fall off a cliff. You know what? It's not falling off a cliff. But my Bible says that the path of the righteous is like the shining of the sun. It just keeps getting brighter and brighter and brighter every day. And some of you guys need to stop speaking curses into your life and stop believing the curses that are in your life. Just because the rest of the world thinks like that, that doesn't mean that as Christians we need to think like that. Let's go to one more scripture passage, Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to the Apostle Paul. And before we leave that verse 39 says, no one having drunk the old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. The old is better. I spoke to a man just the other day, and he was storing some stuff in our men's home, and he came down, and he was telling me that he had been abused by a Catholic priest when he was a young boy, and it took his world just in a terrible, terrible place, and he said that they asked him when he was I guess they have a fund set up that if you've been molested and you can prove it, there's a fund set up that you can get money from it. And so he was telling me that he was in this process and he said that the lawyer couldn't believe that he was still going to the Catholic Church. This guy's life has just been a terrible, terrible mess. And he said, they couldn't believe I was in the Catholic Church. He's like, but you know what? I tried to go to another church and I walked up and I seen a set of drums in there and I seen a guitar. And I said, you know, that's not supposed to be a church. And he left. And so this man is totally stuck because he looked up on a stage and seen a set of drums and a guitar. Show me in the Bible where that's not supposed to happen. As a matter of fact, you can look in the book of Psalms and say it's just the opposite, right? It's just the opposite that it says there, but there's a paradigm that he had. And because of that, it's literally stopping his relationship with God. Let's look at what the apostle, Philippians chapter 3. Let's just begin in verse 1. We're going to begin in verse 1. If you want to wait, I can give you a second to go there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to go a bunch of verses here, so just bear with me. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Now, again, it's a mixing. What he was worried about was a mixing of law and grace. So back then they were saying, yeah, you could become a Christian, but you needed to get circumcised first. You know, and basically that the circumcision was what made you holy. And so that's what he was saying. He's saying, you know, you can get circumcised, but it doesn't make you holy. What makes you holy is the Spirit of God coming in your life, being born again, giving you a new heart, a new will, and a new mind. That's what makes you holy. It's not some outward act. And so these people were going around, they were called the Judaizers, and they were saying, you know what, you can become a Christian and follow Jesus, but you also have to get circumcised. And he said, you know, it's not gonna make you any closer to God. He continues in verse 3, for we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoiced in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Circumcised the eighth day, this would have talked about his family lineage. They made sure that he was circumcised on the eighth day, that he was totally of Jewish lineage, that he was a Pharisee. It was the strictest, most religious sect within Judaism. It says that he was so into Judaism that he literally persecuted the church. And we know from church history that he literally had imprisoned and possibly even killed. He definitely witnessed people being killed that were Christians. And it says that he observed the law and he was blameless. But he says, all these things to me I have counted a loss for Christ. Man, he had poured, his whole life had been built around this Judaism. But he said, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm getting rid of them because I'm going to follow Christ. Because I got this new thing. There's a better thing. There's a better covenant with better promises. And I'm going after that. Verse 8 says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Anybody got a King James in here? No? You do? You got it open? No? Okay. that word rubbish is actually better translated dung. I like the King James version. He says, yet indeed I count all those things for loss, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as dung, that I may know Christ. All these worldly things that I gain, you know what? I count them as dung so that I might know Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means that I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Here's where he really drives it home. Powerful verse of scripture. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that I had. Listen, when I got called to the ministry, I worked in the post office. I worked as a city letter carrier for 18 years. Worked that job for 18 years, and I got called to the ministry. I started working in the ministry. I did both for about 4 years. And at the end of the 4 years, I was just kind of on the verge of complete and total burnout, right? The church didn't have the money to support me, and I had this good government job, you got that good government job, man, the benefits and all that. The benefits aren't all that great, by the way, if any, they've changed. So, but anyway, that was kind of the perspective, but I had a steady paycheck. I had watched my friends and my family kind of go through a lot of financial ups and downs. I didn't have that. Every Monday, the mail was there, right? And if the Monday was a holiday, then next Tuesday, there was twice the amount of mail was there to make up for Monday. So I never, you know, I always had work, always had a paycheck, always showed up. But I was at this point where I was totally burnt out. by God's grace, the church had grown and a lot of good things were happening. And I was just at a breaking point where I can only do one or the other. My daughter was just starting college, right? She went to college at Geneva. She graduates in 9 days, by the way, praise the Lord. So she's graduating half a semester early, but the timing didn't make sense. But God said that he wanted me to take that step of faith and quit the job. Well, you know what? Why don't you just stay in there at least 20 years, man? You got to get your retirement. Listen, God called me to take that step of faith. That's worldly wisdom. Listen, I'm not saying being foolish. God has to call you to do this. But God spoke to me and called me to do that. It doesn't matter. Government benefits, all that, safety and security. You know what? The walk with Christ, man, is jumping into the water. It's getting out of the boat. Can I walk on the water? Lord, bid me to come and I'll come. Jump out. And you jump out. And I jumped out. And can I tell you something? Do you know that God has provided for all of my needs? I've never been hungry. As a matter of fact, we have so much food right now in our, because we've coordinated with this other ministry and become a food distribution. We have so much food. I'm looking for places to give it away because we have so much. I'm moving from a smaller house into a bigger house. You know, God's provided for all my needs. My daughter still went to college, still graduated from college, very minimal school loans. God will not let you down. In my case, the job that I had at the post office took me to where God, he wanted to take me for a season. But the thing that can get you to one place in one season, if you're not able to sense the fact that God wants you to switch, can become bondage for the next season. Amen. Listen, you see a lot of churches and they have little church splits, church fights over when they want to go to contemporary worship from the hymn books. So they have hymns and then some people want to go to contemporary worship and people get out and leave the church because it's not the hymn books. You know what? The hymn books may have got that church to where it was going in one season, but the next season, God wants to use worship in a different way. And if you're hung on to that last season, you're going to miss what God wants to do in the next season. Are you guys with me this morning? Am I making sense? Paul said, my family line, the things that my family had taught me, I got to count them as, listen, I love my family, but I can tell you there's a lot of stuff that they taught me that was not biblical, you know? And can I tell you something? There was no Christians in my family. I was the first one to get saved. I was the black sheep of the family. I got saved, gave my life to Christ. And I, from that point forward, I began believing God that my entire family was going to be saved. I baptized my sister, who's older than me. I baptized my mother. And my dad, at the age of 72 years old, just got saved, gave his heart to the Lord in a Presbyterian church that's right down the street from his house. And they're starting to come around. But just the things that your family taught you, and your family's not bad, and I'm not saying that they have to be bad, but the family traditions that we grew up with aren't necessarily what the Bible teaches. We need to live this word. If it's not in this word, it doesn't matter. It's just your opinion, right? We don't teach out of the book of first and second opinions. Amen? It's not there. So the thing is that we got to look at what's the family things that I grew up with that are paradigms that are holding me back from what God really wants to do in my life. What are the religious things? Maybe the church that I grew up with. Well, you know, brother, you know, everybody's supposed to be poor, you know? Listen, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but if prosperity means no lack or lacking any good thing, that God will provide for all your needs through his riches and glory, right? Jesus might have not had much when he walked at the earth, but when he wanted to feed 5,000, he knew how to call down the resources of heaven. Amen? And sometimes God wants to prosper the church, not so some preacher can drive a Maserati or a Bentley or whatever. He wants to prosper the church so that we can build a new shelter for the homeless, so that we don't have to donate. I got a thing for from Cornerstone Ministries asking me if I would donate tarps. Tarps. We can do better than that. Here, brother, here's your tarp. By God. Can we not give and have a building where these guys can take a shower and be warm and they can get a good meal and witness to Jesus? You know, somebody's got to have money to give there. And maybe God wants to prosper you. Maybe He wants to prosper your business. Maybe He does want to release that. Maybe there's just, and God does want you to give generously to the church, but maybe that message has been skewed and messed up because there's people on TBN and other networks who have abused it. It doesn't mean that it's not true. It does not mean that it's not true. And we got to take those things religiously that we've grown up. And I'll tell you the biggest one. One of the biggest ones we deal with in our church is that they have that same thing that, okay, there's the priest and then there's the laity. It's not like that. God has a plan and purpose for each one of you. It's a body of Christ. It's our body. That's an old time thinking. Well, you know what? The pastor's got to grow this church. Listen, the pastor equips you to go out on the streets and witness to people and invite people to church. We have a guy that just started our church and he told me the other day, he said, you know, I invited 40 people to church. Two people showed up. He said, but at least I know the ratio. I got to invite 20 to have one show up. So the thing is that you want people to show, not so that you have a big church, say my church is big and all that. We want to populate heaven and depopulate hell. And it's all your, when all the gifts come together, one person's an arm, one person's a leg. Pastor Sam and Tracy don't have all the gifts. They have a measure of the gifts, and you guys have the gifts. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of you guys, and you guys need to step up, become the body of Christ. And if you're the body of Christ, it doesn't matter whether you think you're too old, too weak, too broken, too tired. It doesn't matter. The Bible says that you're the body of Christ, so it's not about you, it's about Christ. If you're the body of Christ, then when I pray for somebody so that they might be healed, then it's not about me. I don't have to get them healed. I'm part of the body of Christ. So I pray, I take authority over and believe God and let Him do the work. We feel that there's a divide. There's the professional church people, and then there's all of us who just go about our regular lives. Maybe God sent you as a missionary in your work. Maybe wherever you're at, you need to bring the Holy Spirit with you. Amen? But we have this mentality that, okay, well, the pastor does the work and then we just kind of show up. And that's not the way it works. The pastor equips the saints so that we can go out. This is not what we do. This is where we gather and this is where we celebrate. And this is where we get filled up for the mission field that is out there that starts tomorrow. Amen? So we go out the doors, we get filled up to go out. We don't come to the church to just warm a chair, punch in and punch out, and feel good about ourselves that we did our religious duty. That's religion. That's not Christian. Amen? So I would just say, look at yourself and just as a matter of fact, just let's take a moment. Could we just close our eyes? Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would just reveal to each person in their heart any type of lies that they believed, any type of strongholds that they have, whether it's a family stronghold, whether it's a word that people said to them that's not true. I just pray that right now that you would reveal that to them. Lord, your word is truth, Lord. And Lord, I pray that truth would be spoken right now. I break generational curses in the name of Jesus Christ. I break curses that have been spoken over people by family members in their life, curses that were spoken over. And I break that in Jesus' name. That one thing I do. Forget about the things that are behind. The failures, the successes, all of it. Paul says, I forget all of it. I forget all of it. And I press toward the mark of Christ Jesus. I don't got it all together this morning, but you know what? I'm pressing towards the mark. I don't know how I'm going to make it all the time, but you know what? I'm pressing forward. I don't always know how to be a perfect father, a perfect husband, but you know what? I'm pressing forward. I can't do anything about what I did in the past. I can only go forward in Christ. Yeah, we've had some good things happen in our church, but you know what? I want to see better things, so I press forward to the high mark. Forget those things which are behind you. Forget those things which you hold on to. Oh, let them go. Let them go and let God pour that new wine into your life. Let him pour that new wine into your body. Let him give you revelations and dreams about what he wants to do in your life. I pray that God would just shake this place, Lord. I pray that you would shake this place, Lord. I pray that you would turn the page to a new chapter, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just shake this place, Lord, and that you would give people, Lord, as I've seen that vision 2020, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just give people new revelation, Lord. And I pray that you would raise people up to step into that. That Lord, I break intimidation in Jesus' name. Lord, I stand against the spirit of fear. I would step up in that position, but I'm afraid that I might mess it up. That's intimidation. That's a lie of the devil. The Lord says that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And if you're feeling weak today, you know what? You need to give an amen and a hallelujah, because the Lord's ready to use you. Empty out all those things. Let God's power come into your life. Step up and step out. Don't let another day go forward where you say, you know what? I would have did this. I should have did this. Listen, do you want to get to heaven and you want to get there on that day and you walk in and you're in heaven, and great as that may be, that You stand face to face with Jesus, and it's like, you know what? There was so much more that I wanted to do with you. There were so many more things that you could have did, but you were just scared. You didn't step into them. You just held on to this stuff, and I would have taken care of you. I would have provided for you. I would have did everything for you. I would have came through. I'd have gave you resources and people and everything that you needed. And listen, it just takes a step. Faith just takes a step of faith. Don't let those old things hold you back. Don't let those old things hold you back. Forget about it. Forget about the past. Forget about those things. Let God just let you forget about it and just ask him to fill you. Forget about what things are supposed to look like. Forget about all those things. And listen, can I tell you something? The only thing that's holding you back from your destiny is that the lies that you keep telling yourself. I pray that God's truth would break all those lies. Just feel that God wants to really do something here. I just want to wait on the Lord. Can we just pray in the Spirit if you have that ability? Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we pray for the rain, Lord. We pray for the rain to come, Lord. We pray for the rain to come. I believe the Lord says that you have everything you need here. Everything you need is right here. All the resources, all the talent, everything is right here. And the pastor said that, you know what, there might not be a lot of people, but we have good people. And immediately I thought about the army of Gideon. And what he wants to do is sometimes he wants to pare things down so that he can take a group of people and he can begin to do things through them, and he can build on that group. And then when he builds on that group, then he's going to do mighty things through that group. So stop looking to the left or to the right, wondering, okay, well, who's going to do it? Who's going to, you know what? If God's put it on your heart, you know what? You step up, you do it. Believe God, step in faith. I promise you, he will not let you down. He will not let you down. Wouldn't you rather try? Even if it was failure, wouldn't you rather try and fail than just have never tried? I don't know about you, but I would rather go for it. Told you about the vision that we have for this Beaver County Dream Center. And listen, we don't have the money for it. I have no idea where it's going to come from. I don't. But I know God's in it. I know God's in it. And you know what? I'm going to believe God. And we're going to see God move. And we're going to see God do it. And you know what? When you start believing God, I just want to challenge you guys. Start believing for the hard things once again. Start believing for the impossible things once again. You have not because you ask not. Well, you know, brother, I asked, I prayed. Pray again. Elijah went and prayed 7 times before he saw the rain. Just keep praying. Keep believing. Keep standing on the word. And I'm telling you, God is about to move some mighty mountains in some of your life. But you can't hold on to the old things, old ways of believing. You got to let them go. And you got to just begin to believe God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you want to do here at this church. I thank you for the people that you've called here. Thank you for what you want to do. Thank you for the leaders that are here. Lord, I pray that you would set us free, that you would set us free from old religious beliefs, that you would set us free from fear, that you would set us free from fear of man, that you would set us free from the believing that our life has to always be a failure, that bad things always happen. Lord, set us free from that. Set us free from that. Lord, set us free from addictions and bondages and worldliness just in general, Lord. And let us know let us see your glory that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for what you've done today. We thank you for the changes that are coming. We thank you for the blessings that are on their way. We thank you for the healings, Lord. We thank you for the deliverances. We thank you, Lord, that your power is going to be shown in a mighty, mighty way through this church and through these people. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.